And commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse, and if you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And today's conversation with a guest, Jasmine Wicks, is going to be about local education. And Jasmine, first of all, I must compliment you on your patience in getting in touch with me.
Well, David, thank you for getting back to me. I know you're a busy man.
Yeah, so, you know, and we, you know, it seemed like for a week, whenever you called, I was right in the middle of something. So, but call me back, because you have a great, what I believe, enterprise thought going on. Mm-hmm. And I want Fairbanks to hear it. But I want you to explain it, how it all came about. You know, we've had a lot of, you're looking at a charter school?
Yes, sir.
Through the STED program.
Yes, sir. It's going to be called the Homestead Charter School.
Now, my dad was, sir, I'm David.
Yes, David. Gotcha.
Okay, that was my dad. He's a Marine. So anyway, now you live out in Two Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And I take it you have kids in school or available for it.
I do. I have two daughters that attended Two Rivers before it closed.
And is the school open right now under an operation?
The school is currently open. It's being used as a best homeschool hub. They're out there, to my knowledge, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, some Fridays. There are some after-school events that some of our local groups partner with to help. We also have a few nonprofits that are renting out classrooms to do things for adults on the weekends as well in the building.
So you've looked at a charter school through the STED program. What is the STED program? You have the Two Rivers Homestead shirt on, so STEAD, okay. Mm-hmm.
So the idea behind STED is, of course, we added the home in there because there are STED schools in the lower 48, some really wonderful schools. They're accredited in various things. One of them has an international STEM accreditation. But the STED model really incorporates the things that you would get in most other schools through a lens of keeping it local and keeping it relevant to how you live.
Mm-hmm.
Our area, there are a lot of farms out there. We have yak farms, we have peony farms, we have potato farms. There are people that are immersed in agriculture, which by default requires that you do some science.
Mm-hmm.
It requires that you do some engineering. It requires that you design around this lifestyle. And so technology also comes into play, even though we're proposing a lower tech school. The meaningful application where technology doesn't replace teaching,
mm-hmm.
it accentuates the program. And we use that in meaningful applications to do agriculture, to do life skills, and to have this more immersive Alaskan experience for the kids, where an art lesson may look like going out and doing a field journal drawing sandhill cranes that flew into the playground, or your science lesson may be setting trap lines out and dissecting a rabbit.
I have to go in a complete different direction.
Go for it.
Just looking at this. Do you think that the old one up there off Farmer's Loop, what was it, Pearl Creek?
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty ornery of trying to get a homeschool there. Has that taken any of the oxygen out of your room?
You know, I think we're two different programs with two different goals.
Okay.
So I think there's room for everybody, and we're going to appeal to different populations.
Okay. So. What is the process for trying to become a charter school? Let's not go there yet.
Okay.
How did you come to this process?
You know, the first time our school went up for closure, I had went by to talk to the principal. She was amazing. She had open door policy at all times. And I asked about a magnet school and a charter school. And they were trying to do something different. And then we came back and we kept revisiting this idea. And we did a lot of advocacy. The borough listened. They didn't close us the first year. Then the numbers kind of indicated that needed to happen. And then a group of parents got together and we said, well, how do we keep education local? But we don't want to bring back the same school that was here before that closed.
True.
It doesn't, that didn't sustain. So what do we do? And so this idea of school of choice that gives something really different that's from what's happening in any other school in the borough became an idea. And then we had like a year of just idea think sessions where mm-hmm. we're throwing out ideas and we're listening and we're getting feedback. And then the next year, we really put pen to paper. And it all started with printing out a copy of the state application. And then about 7 to 11 of us, I think, have probably read every charter in this borough at least 4 times and really got familiar with what that process looked like as far as the application.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started working on it and we started reaching out to the district. We met with them. We had some things that weren't quite perfect in our initial, so we pulled it back. And we really dove even deeper, got really familiar with finding amendments on the board policy website and seeing how those policies have had to change throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it took just a lot of time, face down, pen to paper, hours and hours and thousands of hours of working, I would say. And we had some really great educators that volunteered that help us find these various curriculum materials
mm-hmm.
that help us map out that alignment for every grade. And we have K through 8.
Ah, and, okay, yeah. So it seems like the junior high is the area that needs to be opened up too.
I would think so. I have big feelings.
With student population, yeah.
I have big feelings about middle schools. I mm-hmm. love the K-8 model.
Junior high.
Whatever.
It tells you when I went to school.
I went through an attendance center.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the same campus, K through 12. We had different halls.
Yeah.
But it was right there. They were all together. It made life really easy mm-hmm. for parents because it was one drop-off spot.
Well, let's just look at Two Rivers there.
Right.
What mile is that school at?
About 18 miles.
Okay. So I've always looked at that and the Salcha School also as a very important community center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're in Fairbanks and you have different elementary schools, you're still going around doing other things at other locations.
Right.
When you're out there, you are out there.
Yes, sir.
And who is sir?
Your dad.
Okay.
Yes, David. Sorry, that's the Southern in me. You're going to get some sirs.
I know it. But so I look at this and I say to myself, okay, I'm glad they didn't shut down the school like they did Pearl Creek or they did Joy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're looking at these best programs for homeschooling. But a charter school is a higher level of education, and you're looking at that.
Mm-hmm.
In your mind, you know, the thing about education is the school systems, the school bricks and mortar buildings have had a population decrease by parents not sending them out
mm-hmm.
to that. Do you think your model will bring more students in?
You know, that's the feedback I've gotten from the public. We've had several families that have told us, my kids have never gone to public school,
mm-hmm.
but I like what you're doing here. And we're willing to try it out at this school. We're not willing to come back for what's in our neighborhood, but we'll drive down Nordell for this.
Okay.
And so I do. I think if you really listen, and we took a year of listening to people.
Yeah.
And hearing what they liked and what they didn't like and what they wanted their kids to experience. And, you know, it wasn't assembly line education.
Yeah. You know, I just think our education system, if not in the United States or in the state and in this borough, has failed.
Mm-hmm.
This year alone, we lost another 500 to 600 students, mm-hmm. you know, going to homeschool programs.
Right.
Leaving the brick and mortar. So what brings people back to the brick and mortar? A charter school.
You know, I think a choice.
Yeah.
And you have to show people something different. That's why when I stepped in as the president of the APC, we would talk about the things that they did at Two Rivers. And then I would be the bad guy. And I would say, but guys, that school closed.
Yeah.
So we can't keep doing the things that did not work. And now we all kind of live by that. And we decided in a movement towards healing that we're just going to call it the Homestead Charter instead of Two Rivers and just let it be something beautiful and new. And it has this amazing history that contributed to it. But the charter that we have designed is so much more than what it was at any point throughout time. And we hope to see that keep happening.
You know, I've always said that if you want a child to have a good education, you have to have a good teacher and good parents.
I'm not going to disagree with you on
that. Sounds like you have the good parents.
You know, we're a small group, but we're a passionate group. And I think it makes all the difference in the world. And, you know, in our talks with the borough and with FEA and anybody who would listen, and so I'll tell you as well, we came back to two really defining principles in every decision that we disagreed on or we had to make. Is this good for kids? Number one, period.
Yeah.
Number two, is this a place you would want to work?
Yeah.
Those are important. We have to have a place that educators want to be. Because they're not going to get burned out and hate their jobs. And when they love what they're doing, the kids are going to love being at school.
Yeah.
My daughters have gone to public school, and we tried homeschooling. It did not work for my family. But they...
Yeah, it wouldn't work for me
either. It did not work for us. You know, I'm a small business owner. It was a lot. But my children learn better from other people.
Okay.
And I'm a reader. I will sit there and read till the cows come home, and I have two little doers. And they like to be hands-on, and they like to be in there doing the things. And so trying to navigate that.
Two different
learning methods. So we do have the STED model that combines project-based learning with that old-school literature. Like, we have workbooks, and we have pen and paper.
Mm-hmm.
And that is by design, obviously, because of budgetary constraints. But also because it was where the populations that gave us their feedback placed their values.
Sure. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. I have Jasmine Wicks with the Two Rivers Homestead Charter School program in here. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Finally, the sun is coming out. Great reason to smile, so show yours off with help from Affordable Dental Care. From cleaning and fillings to root canals, crowns, even veneers. Yep, they do it all. And as the name implies, it's very affordable. And if you suffer from dental anxiety, no worries. The staff at Affordable Dental know how to put your mind at ease and make your procedure a pleasant one. See all their services online at adcak.com. Affordable Dental Care off 14th Avenue downtown.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Price RV. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Across Alaska's rivers, runways, trap lines, and trails, there are stories that deserve to be heard. Those stories live on Alaska Tracks. Hosted by wildlife biologist and lifelong outdoorsman Randy Zarnke, Alaska Tracks takes you inside the lives of the people who know this land best. Elders, hunters, bush pilots, and trappers who carry Alaska's traditions forward. Built on an oral history project by the Alaska Trappers Association, each episode blends conversation, storytelling, and first-hand experience, connecting generations, bush and city, past and present. This isn't just a show. It's a living archive and a reminder of what it means to live in the last frontier. Alaska Tracks is proudly presented by KFAR Radio and sponsored by Rod's Saw Shop, Ginger Orem with Crown Real Estate, Interior Welding Extreme North Trailers, and Frontier Outfitters. Alaska Tracks, Saturday at 1:30 p.m., only on KFAR Radio. Stories of the North, told by the people who live them.
KFAR Weather.
Mainly clear today with daytime highs approaching 6 below. Winds out of the north around 5 miles an hour. Mainly clear tonight. Lows dip down to about 36 below. Bright sunshine expected. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 4 below. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Jasmine Wick in the studio with me here. She is with the Two Rivers Homestead Charter School Program. And the reason why I know that is because she has a shirt that says that.
You know, we got the shirts printed once, and then we changed the name just to Homestead. We left the shirts because, you know, it costs a lot of money to get shirts printed, especially when you're a mom and pop organization that's paying for this out of pocket.
There you go. So you've started the application process?
Yes, sir. Our application is actually already with the school board.
Okay.
And we hope to get it reviewed. I'm thinking probably the first week in April is when we'll be on their calendar. And what that's going to look like is us going back in and basically representing this charter section by section, doing a cute little PowerPoint, and then opening the floor for the board to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to assume, of course, you know what they say about that, but I will assume that they'll come back in to meet with admin and they'll do a presentation of any things that they find might be sticky or things that the board needs to vote on.
Mm-hmm.
And then we should have an answer.
Let's talk numbers.
All right.
Budgetary. What is it going to, what's your budgetary first, second, third year to implement this?
All right. So I'm going to talk like math like I know it, and then I'll talk like school district math, right?
Oh, the new math.
Those are different.
Yeah.
And so it's funny. The budget that we have for the charter school is $1.298 million, which is not a lot if I say it really fast, but it's a ton of money. And the impact is about $500,000. The way that works out is it's numbers they've already allocated out of their budget that our charter would be absorbing. From what I have taken away from the district feedback and their presentation is that the first 3 years it would cost them about that. And then they actually start making a little money off of the school and it becomes more neutral. And it seems like between year 3 and 5, it doesn't really cost the district anything, which is really unheard of in the world of charter schools.
Who put together those numbers for you?
You know, those are based off of the school district administration's presentation. So they did.
Ouch.
No, I think it was beautiful.
So do I. So
really
do I.
But cool to see them acknowledged.
But were they? Oh, I'm going to be the bureaucrat.
Ouch. Go ahead. Go for it. I love
that
word.
Were they expecting that?
No, I think they were very excited about it. And you know, Mr. DeGraw had mentioned, like, it does become cost-effective after, like, 3 years, which is pretty cool.
Okay, other numbers. Mm-hmm. What is the capacity of the school student mm-hmm. body population before shut down?
Right.
And what would you be looking at years 1, 2, and 3 of potential student body population?
So the old Two Rivers K-8, at one point during the year, had about 74 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had some life changes happen, and people went different directions. And I think they had about 69 when it closed. We are looking at a minimum of 75 kids. That would be the bare minimum. Our goal is 80 for the first year,
mm-hmm.
and then up to 100 students. That's where our cap's set at right now, in-person students.
How would you go about fulfilling that? What sort of marketing? Because this is marketing now. You're marketing parents to get their kids in your education program at your brick and mortar school. Jasmine Wicks, how are you going
to
do it?
You know, I tend to go back to the if you build it, they will come.
This isn't Field of Dreams.
Oh, this is Field of Dreams, 100%. We're playing baseball. I think you build this beautiful program that speaks for itself, and the parents that want this for their families find you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I legitimately believe if we build it, they will come. I mean, it may take some Facebook advertising, too. Or the radio, you know. A little shameless plug there. But
oh, I get that all the time. Don't worry. You remind me of Craig Compo.
I think he repairs our four-wheeler if that's the same person.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, we're going to put the word out. We've been doing surveys. We actually have 89 students interested in attending. So I think that kind of speaks for itself.
Fairbanks, you can't see my pleasantly surprised, shocked look on my face. That's good.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And a large percentage of those are not from in area.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, the smallest percentage of that is students that went to Two Rivers prior. A lot of them aged out. Some mm-hmm. of them have gone to homeschool and they love it. And given that feedback, because we do take our community into consideration, we have developed a hybrid charter. So we do also have a field school that we've incorporated into our charter where we're asking Best Homeschool Hub to stay in the building in a small presence and collaborate with us. So we bring those homeschool students back into the classroom to participate.
So there's no cost increase of utilities?
No.
Things like that. Maybe some more janitorial?
Yes.
Administrative?
Yeah.
But you'll get more revenue from your student body population from the state of Alaska?
No, we will not.
Oh, you won't?
We won't. We're doing a fee-based.
Okay.
So that we are not taking away that BSA from whatever district these kids are enrolled with.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going to pay a small tuition fee to participate in these activities. And then they are welcome because, you know, you always hear people like, but what about socialization? Which makes my homeschooling sister-in-law laugh because her kids are way more social than mine are. And I have social butterflies. But, you know, we bring these kids in.
You have daughters.
I have daughters.
There you go.
And they are very people-y, and I am sometimes not. So it's just the most amazing thing to watch. But we bring these kids back in, and they're also welcome to join any of the dances that we do, the fall festival, our after-school events. They want to come run track. They want to come to the end of the year barbecue. Please come, because you're a homesteader at this point. So come join the pack, and let's have some fun together.
Okay.
Little weird model, right? Very different from what you're seeing anywhere else.
Well, yeah, but again, like I said, you know, you have to do something different.
Yeah, and we did.
And this is a good different.
I think so. And, you know, we got really great feedback from the district. Best is excited to do this with us.
Yeah, you're not taking them out of the building.
No, we want them to stay. Like, we asked them to.
Yeah.
Because also, to your point, David, when you're in this community, you're out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have high schools, but we also have a lot of high school students that do not go to schools in town. They choose to homeschool. This allows them still to get a lot of those resources. If they need tutoring, Best can send a person out to our hub, and they can do tutoring in the building at the Homestead Charter. And so it is essentially serving K through 12 if we utilize the program the way it is intended to be used.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. Fairbanks, we are going to take a break here. Yes, I'm in the purple padded room with Jasmine Wick, who has not mentioned the purple padded room yet. Jasmine, what do you think about being in a purple padded room? Is Barney your favorite character?
Doesn't bother me at all.
Because you're just in and out for, you know, you don't have to sit here all the time like I do. After a while, it grows on you. Anyway, Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. Got some bumper music with you here, Tom Petty, some Fox News, state news, commercials, and weather. And we'll see if Jasmine is the same after being in the purple padded room with some with some bumper music from Tom Petty. We'll be back.
Love Tom Petty.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fox News, Carrick. Operation Epic Fury continues alongside Israel's military. Fox's Eben Brown.
Both the U.S. and Israel continue their strikes against Iran's rulers and their military, pushing the Islamic regime further out of power, U.S. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth.
The mullahs are desperate and scrambling. Like the terrorist cowards they are, they fire missiles from schools and hospitals.
The U.S. targeting Iran's Navy. Officials in Toronto, Canada, with an update on a shooting outside the U.S. consulate early this morning. Chris Leather with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
We have increased security around embassies and consulate buildings here in Toronto and in the Ottawa region. There will be no tolerance for any form of intimidation, harassment, or harmful targeting of any communities or individuals in Canada.
America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchorage Daily News reports billionaire investor John Paulson made a splash in Alaska's mining industry last year when he paid $800 million for a 40% stake in the huge Donlin Gold project. But while working to advance Donlin, Paulson quietly sold his position in a separate Alaska-focused company that soared in value after the Trump administration approved the Ambler Road. That's according to a recent filing with federal securities regulators from Paulson's investment office, Paulson & Company. The disclosure first reported by Bloomberg indicates that Paulson sold all of his nearly 9% stake in Vancouver-based Trilogy Metals between October 1st and December 31st. It was a much smaller investment than Paulson's ownership of Donlin and a separate gold and antimony project that he had been pushing in Idaho. But the transaction is notable given the investor's significant role in Alaska's mining industry and his relationship with President Donald Trump. The Trump administration said in October that it would pay some $35 million for 10% of Trilogy and approve the Ambler Road.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Every day now at the Great Alaska Pizza Company in Fairbanks and North Pole, buy medium pepperoni or cheese pizzas for just $7 each when you buy two. The best pizza deal ever every day. Carry out only.
The Great Alaska Pizza Company. Real Alaskan heroes.
The Woodway salutes you, Miss Blaze King owner.
Your princess works 24 hours a day.
So when you wake up to the fire you started yesterday,
you don't have to worry.
You just grab coffee and sit down in your comfy chair.
So much time to yourself.
What you could accomplish now that you need less wood.
This wooden is cleaner.
Your Blaze King treats you the way you deserve all winter long. Saluting heroes, the Alaskan way. The right way. The wood way. Brought to you by Blaze King and Wicked Long Burn Times.
You know what sounds great on a cold day? A car that starts on the first try. Hey, Fairbanks, Les Nichols with Fairbanks Nissan. If the cold has your current ride being a little dramatic, maybe it's time to leave your old ride in 2025 and ride for six in 2026. Just $6 down gets you driving today. $6. That's coffee money. That's snack money. That's drive away today money. We have the kind of used cars you've been looking for. Low mileage? Check. All-wheel drive? Check. Great selection? Check. Low prices? Like I can't believe that's the price, low prices? Check. Interest rates that make sense? Check. 90 days of first payment? Check. Just $6 down to get you around town? Check. And yes, you can trade that frozen ride clogging up your driveway. That's drive now, pay later, $6 down, 90 days to first payments, and lots of used all-wheel drive cars, trucks, and SUVs to choose from. Check out all the happy-to-start, snow-loving rides at FairbanksNissan.com. That's FairbanksNissan.com.
$6 down and 90 days to first payment, required bank approval. Offer absolutely ends at the end of the month. See dealer for details.
It's almost time for the 80th running of the Lotto Alaska Open North American Sled Dog Championships. This year's race is dedicated to past champion Harris Dunlap. The action happens March 20th through the 22nd, with teams starting and finishing at the Mushers Hall on Farmers Loop Road. This year, both days 2 and 3 will run with a reverse start order. All 3 days will be broadcast live on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. Get ready for the fastest dog race you'll ever see. The Lotto Alaska Open North American Sled Dog Championships.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here with Jasmine Wicks, and we're talking about the Two Rivers Homesteads Charter School program that she's and a group of wonderful parents are attempting to put together. If you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Now, Jasmine, you know, you use the term homestead,
mm-hmm.
and that reflects upon what it was like to operate a homestead. You had to be a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that's what you have your school model based on. Because homesteads were basically agriculture driven.
Right.
And taking a piece of property and then putting it into production over so many years.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like your school program wants to somewhat follow that model.
Oh, very much. And you know, it's really interesting because on your state application, you have to write what your credentials are. And we have a lot of credentials that say parent, homesteader, business owner, educator.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of fancy titles in there, but there are a lot of people that do really cool things, maybe with limited resources. And that is a lot of it. I mean, we have these farms and we have these steads and we have these houses that were built in the 70s. And sometimes you have to make it work.
Mine was built in the 50s and I make it work.
Oh, well.
I'm redoing something every year.
We are redoing something every year, but I can't beat that 2x8 construction.
Don't be a jerk.
I know. I can't beat it. I love my old farmhouse. But I think that that's part of the beauty of the area, too,
mm-hmm.
is that there is real estate out there. Where my family, when we came to Alaska, we were looking at houses, and our realtor, who was not you, unfortunately, was showing us some on the ridge, and we were like, oh, no, let's bring that down about $200,000, friend. And they were like, but you can afford it, and we said, we don't want to afford it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because we can doesn't mean we should.
Exactly.
Because we also like other things like food.
You have a lifestyle.
I do. And I also wanted a garden.
Mm-hmm.
And we found this place out here, and it's been so wonderful. And while we don't have a geographic boundary for the school, it's a lottery system because charters have to be, it's federal mandate.
Mm-hmm.
There are really great opportunities for people to buy real estate out there. And even if they don't come to our charter school and they want a homestead and they want a homeschool, they could use the building. And then there's really great other really great programs not too far away.
So you're basically taking a building that survived being shut down by putting in a homeschool program for that area in it, and you want to take it and expand it more for students and general population of the Fairbanks North Star Borough interior residents without having a boundary.
Oh, yeah. We're not gatekeeping.
Yeah.
We want to, like, get everybody to maximize this, make the drive out.
Where most schools are boundaried.
Right.
But you have no boundaries.
No, you can't have a boundary population really with a charter school. You can have like a really small walking distance. I did joke with the school board and the administration and ask them if we could have a horse riding boundary or kids that are bringing themselves onto snow machine because you see that out there.
Oh, that you better have that.
You know, we
or mini bikes like our family, mini bikes, snow machines. We didn't have horses.
You know, in the parking lot, I saw horses. I saw snow machines. I saw go-karts. I saw kids coming on ATVs. I saw kids coming on cross-country skis. Like, who does that?
Yeah, it's two rivers.
My kids were like, Mom, can we walk? And I said, I see a moose in our yard. No, friend, you can't walk.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also worth the drive. And that is something that we've gotten a little feedback, like who's going to drive their kids out there? Well, I drive my kids to town every day to go to school now. I make that drive 4 times a day because I work from home. So I drive in, I drive back, I drive in, I drive back.
What's your business?
I own a birth support business. I'm a doula, and I also teach childbirth education.
Okay.
Lots of middle of the night's baby runs because they come when they want to. But fortunately,
they do.
They do, don't they? But we have really great internet at our house because we have Starlink and I work from home.
Good for you.
But you know, I'm also a hobby beekeeper and farmer. And my great grandparents were immigrants.
So all these things that you do in your personal life, you're trying to incorporate into your school for the school life of the students.
Right. And it's very important that families are involved in their kids' education. So we've designed this model where parents and family members, whether it's the family you're born into or the one that chose you, can come out and talk about their lifestyle and teach children, because there's value in that.
Mm-hmm.
We want our heavy equipment operators to come out. We want the people that run the mine to come out. My husband's a scientist. I want him to come out too. I did a lesson with some of the kids recently, or last year, about beekeeping, because mm-hmm. I love it. And I do a little work with the State Apiculture Society. But that's another cool thing about the schools. We have these different modalities where we can get some funding that other schools may not be able to tap into through the agriculture division, through USDA, maybe even some mining things, because we do have that design element that could also be incorporated with the science and geology. And Lord knows we have some miners out there in Two Rivers.
That you do. You have some agriculture out there, some business. You know, with agriculture, you have the business mm-hmm. aspects of it. And like you said, you've been driving your kids into Fairbanks to go to school. What schools do they go to?
You know, both of my daughters go to Boreal Sun Charter.
Okay.
The reason why we went with Boreal Sun.
Where's that located?
It's over here on Barnett.
Okay.
And it was the one place that my girls both got into the same school.
Mm-hmm.
And we do this because it saves me money.
Okay.
It's a great school. It's art driven. My kids are very artsy. But to have driven them from our house to North Pole, because I have a middle schooler,
mm-hmm.
and then back to Weller, there was a 50-minute wait before school started, and then back again to North Pole, and then back to Weller, and then 18 miles down Tuna Hot Springs Road.
What type of car do you have?
Not a good one for the commute I do, sir.
I was going to say,
drive a very
who was
large
sir? Who
SUV,
was sir?
Your dad.
Okay.
That's who I'm having this interview with.
No, you're not.
No, I'm just playing. No, I drive an SUV with four-wheel drive because it's required where I live.
And whenever you do have an interview with my dad, put in a few good words for me.
I sure will. I'll tell him you're a peach. But no, not a great mileage one.
Yeah.
But
it's what you got to do.
It's what I got to do because my kids are worth it. All of our kids are worth it.
But with that, you show what a parent's intent is. If you did this, mm-hmm. you have the expectation of other parents doing it because you've already seen other parents doing that.
I have. And, you know, actually, we've developed a partnership with lots of local organizations.
Mm-hmm.
But we also developed a partnership with Effie Cochran. They invited us into their school.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the kiddos waves at me, and I've never seen this child in my life, but he was the sweetest, and he was like, I've seen you. You're so-and-so's mom. And I was like, that I am. And turns out this child is one of my neighbors.
Oh, wow.
And his parents have been driving him in this whole time
yeah.
to a charter school. If I drive my kids, and this other family drives their kids, and then my daughter said, hey, so-and-so lives on Chino Hot Springs Road in my class. And I said, oh, she does. And she said, yeah, mom, she's, you know, 5 miles down the road. That's three parents right there that I've heard about in the last month that are doing it. If we will do it, so will other people, especially if it gives their kids something different. And we have positions open for educators. So come on and teach there and bring your kids with you.
There you go. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFER Radio. I have Jasmine Wicks in the studio here with me. We are looking at the Two Rivers Homestead Charter School System. And if you have a question, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Every house has windows. And when you have questions about purchasing new ones, where do you go? No, you don't ask Google. And if you did, it should tell you to go ask Steve at Glass Solutions for all your window and door-related questions. Steve's Alaska's expert with more than 30 years' experience selling Arctic-grade windows that will last. Everyday wholesale pricing on time-tested major brands that have proven themselves at 50 below zero. Call 699-9633 and ask for Steve for your best solution at Glass Solutions.
I'm a goose watcher. I'm a goose watcher, watching those geese drop by. My, my, my. I'm a goose watcher. I'm a goose watcher. Here comes one now.
Springtime is Goose Watch time, and that means you can win $500 in cash for the guess of when the geese return to Kramer's Field, courtesy of Frontier Outfitters and Century Hardware. Enter your guess when the first flock of Canada geese arrives. It's Goose Watch 2026 at Frontier Outfitters in Govora Mall and Century Hardware in the North Pole Plaza Mall. If your guess is the closest to the official time and day, you win $500. Visit KFARradio.com or the store for details. Must be 18 or older. Be a Goose Watcher and win $500 in cash.
I'm a Goose Watcher. I'm a Goose Watcher. Here comes one now.
Do you have a little or even a lot of time to share? You can help with the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Call 45-SHARE and get on the schedule. The Fairbanks Community Food Bank collects and redistributes food through many programs, including food boxes, bone builders, and agency shopping. The Fairbanks Community Food Bank, helping to ensure that no child in the Tanana Valley will go hungry. Call 45-SHARE to volunteer to help now at the Fairbanks Community Food Bank, providing food for hungry people without charge. This message brought to you by the radio station at 529 5th Avenue.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Mainly sunny today with a high of 6 below. Winds out of the north around 5 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies again tonight. Lows around 36 below. High temperatures reach up to 4 below tomorrow. Ample sunshine expected. Dry with temperatures well below average Thursday and Friday, and highs in the single digits above zero. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM,
and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, I am in the studio here with Jasmine Wicks, and you have a process you're looking at now for approval, review. Where are you at in the process?
Okay, so last week we met with a couple members of administration for what would be the final review. It was a very happy day all around. I know they're tired of seeing my APC and I's faces and the constant emails. But throughout this process, the first time we did it a little more solo.
Mm-hmm.
And the second time, I think we annoyed them. With lots of loving questions and clarifications, and got to know them on a first-name basis. And it was nice to say, hey, what do you feel about this? And they would say, well, you know, that might be something we might not recommend approval. And we'd say, okay, well, we'll take our chances because we'd rather be told no than not ask. But mm-hmm. we worked through every single section of this charter application. It's 8 sections.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes from give me an intro of what your program overview is to let's talk about the curriculum goals for every single year, for every single grade. Let's do the budget. Let's do the facility. What's your transportation plan? How are you going to pay for this?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to put it all on paper. And we did that.
How long have you been working on this?
Oh, my goodness. It feels like forever. But about 2 years total.
Okay.
And so, again, we go in there, and then we also met with some people that work for the district that do all of their policy mm-hmm. and contracting. And we met with the local teachers union, and we basically gave them the elevator speech,
mm-hmm.
and we offered to let them read it, because why not? Let's show this beautiful program that we've written. And we got really great feedback, and they really like what we're doing. And we developed a calendar that is different from any other school in the borough.
Good. First of all, good. It's different.
It is. It's different. I was actually really surprised to hear that there are some school boards throughout the state that are looking at our calendar. And it's a year-round model.
Mm-hmm.
And so students come back to school a little sooner, and then we get a break from moose hunting.
Well, you know, no offense, but I got a break from school every duck hunting opening day of duck hunting season. I was never, you know, and moose hunting was a little bit earlier, but I was never ever at the opening day of school, because that's when duck hunting season started. That was family time. So good for you.
Well, you know, the thing about it is
how you got to feed your family.
Well, how do we combat chronic absenteeism?
Yeah.
We meet families where they are. If they're not going to send their kids to school during moose season, and let's be real, a lot of them aren't.
Yeah.
Why not just not have school that day or that week?
And it's a, it's a great marketing aspect.
I mean,
that smile was incredible you just had. Yeah, you hit that one on the head, didn't you?
You know,
guilty as charged?
Guilty there. We did have some conversations with educators because we got feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, hey, would you want to work at a school that has this schedule? And some of them looked at it and they called us back and they said, hey, I can get lower priced plane tickets during these windows to go home and visit my family in the lower 48. Yes, this would be something I would want to do. Yes, I want to go moose hunting and I want to take my kids with me. And then we had a few parents reach out that say, hey, this moose season isn't aligned with our borough or our unit. And we said, you know what? You're right. And we went back to the drawing board and we changed that moose season to align with 20B.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's where we live. It's not necessarily where everybody hunts.
But it's adjustable.
But it's adjustable. And then we put a backup plan in there and said, if for some reason this doesn't work with our timeline, we would be willing to adopt the Effie Cochran calendar. So we still get that moose break for the first year. And then we'll go to our calendar. Because we are hoping to get this school open as soon as possible. You know, to your point, we do have people leaving the borough. And time is of the essence, in my opinion. Why wait to let more people leave? It feels like a dream if we keep saying, oh, in 2028, let's do this now. Let's stop wasting time. Let's get it done. And the board does have a policy that states they can do a mid-year opening, but it would be the following year. We ask for a waiver for that policy. You know, you have to jump through some hoops and, to use your word, bureaucracy. If that's the game, let's play it. Let's ask for a waiver. Obviously, the school board does not have to grant us that, especially if it's going to be not really feasible to get it open that soon.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can do it, there's not a single person in my APC or in our community. And I would wager to say most of the people in Fairbanks aren't afraid of some hard work or coming together to make
Never
it happen
afraid
for
of hard
kids.
Work. Never.
You know, I think we need tables brought in. I believe we can get volunteers to bring in tables.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure, let's go for it.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Jasmine Wicks, and your name is?
Randy.
Randy, what are you up to?
Well, listening and trying to get understood, and you want to put a school out in the Two Rivers area? Now, I was just wondering, isn't there a school or was there a school somewhere out there? Is that Pearl Creek or is that another name I'm thinking of or what?
It's Two Rivers, and they're wanting to use that structure for their charter school, which currently also has the best school's program operating out of it for the Two Rivers area.
Okay.
So it's basically repurposing an existing structure, not repurposing, adding on to an existing structure with a business model already in it.
Yes, sir. They do have a small hub in there, but that's a lot of money being spent on a building that's being underutilized. We listened to our neighbors' feedback, and they were like, hey, why do we have all these classrooms sitting empty? Why are we paying for an administration building? Well, we can't control that, and we hear them say they've got servers, but I know this building is now being underutilized, so let's put two programs in there and make the most of people's tax dollars for them.
Okay. You say it's underutilized, or is it vacant, or the whole building is vacant, or what?
No, so there's a homeschool hub. Those kids that are doing homeschool through the school district can come in and get some resources there. But I think there's a little less than 30 kids that are using it. And we're talking about having 100 kids plus another 25 to 30 getting access to that building and those district resources.
Okay, well, thank you. I'm a little more clear now. Okay, makes sense. Sounds good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. What the heck? So when will you know?
Oh, my gracious. I don't know. I hope we know in April so that we can get a move on things. There's some grants we would like to apply for. We have to have a yes to apply for those. And we also need to participate in this lottery. So we've got to give people a chance to sign their kids up and get names drawn.
What do you mean lottery?
The district lottery is part of the process. If you have more kids try to apply than you have seats for, then you have to do a drawing. And if we have 101 applicants,
you're
we have to do a lottery. So I'd like to have time to give families that information so they know, because our school does start a little bit earlier than the rest, but you get more breaks.
What is a schedule like that you proposed without the Effie Cochran, but your schedule?
Our schedule puts them starting in July. Mm-hmm. They would go, and then we have a subsistence break for moose hunting.
Which is when?
You know, that's the first week of moose season, so I guess, what, 1st of September?
Mm-hmm.
And then they come back. We go a little bit longer, and they have more breaks every quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It's still the same 180 days, but you would have like a 2-3 week break off with your family. Mm-hmm. So you get to spend time with them, do things you need, shut down that garden. We all know that takes some time. And then we come back.
That's September.
And teachers aren't burnt out.
Yeah.
Because they're getting breaks. And students aren't losing that knowledge. We're not dealing with that retention slump that you see over these really long summer breaks. And they want to be there.
Hmm.
It makes you think, doesn't it? Working with the environment you live in, with the population of students you live with, with the people.
How has the school district responded to this? Not the school board, but the school district, the bureaucracy.
You know, at first, I think they weren't quite sure what to think of us. And I try to live my life in a way where I put myself in people's shoes. And I think if I were sitting there, and this is just conjecture and me thinking, I would think, well, I just closed this school. What are you guys trying to do? We're trying to save money here. And the answer was, we're trying to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're very smart people. And they saw that what we're doing is different. And what we're doing is financially responsible. And it works. And they've been very kind. And they've been supportive. And, you know, even Dr. Meinert was like, thank you. This is really cool. I see what you guys are doing here. And I appreciate it.
Hmm.
So it's been refreshing, especially when you hear the horror stories. At first, they were a little standoffish. But then I think once they saw that, hey, these people are actually willing to put in the work. And this is really cool. There was a shift that was very appreciated from all sides, because we were a bit guarded ourselves, too.
You've really made a commitment to your children's education, but not only that, to every child's potential education with this program. I mean, it is different. I like it. You haven't told me anything that I haven't agreed with.
Oh, well.
Now, knock that off.
You know, that was actually part of the goal. When we set out to do this, it was a little bit of one of those bitter things.
Yeah.
Because we ask ourselves, what if our kids don't benefit from this? Do we still want to do it? And the answer was yes.
And I look at this and I say, this is a wonderful choice for a parent to either take or not take. It's a great choice.
Yeah. And that's what it's about. You can't force anybody into it.
No.
Yeah.
Well, we got about a minute left. How do you want to end it?
I would just like to end it with saying, take the time, if you guys all don't mind, to write the board. Let them know if you're in support or not. And also, we have a few events coming up out at the school. We would love to have you make the drive. See if that's something you want to do 4 times a day every day, too, like I do. And come join us for our St. Patrick's Day celebration. Or we have a family movie night coming up at the end of the month. And we'd love to have you come out and watch Zootopia with us.
Now, when's your St. Patrick's Day celebration?
Wednesday night.
This Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
Tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Very short notice.
I just don't like the corned beef at all.
I don't think we're doing that. It's going to be more like cookies.
That's my type of St. Patrick's Day night.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, Jasmine, I really appreciate you taking the time to track me down. The patience
you've
had.
Thank you for getting with me.
Yeah, the patience you've had. And I just truly hope that you're successful. Because if you're successful, I know the kids will be successful. Simple as that. So you have a great day. Fairbanks, I will see you tomorrow. And we have Nick Nugent on tomorrow. We're going to talk about a few history things. You have a great day.
Conversation. KFAR 660 AM Fairbanks. K248DK 97.5 FM Fairbanks. The heartbeat of Alaska.